This morning, our devotional background comes from Mark 1, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee and the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
The title of our lesson today is The Most Unlikely, and our lesson text comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, and I'll read that at this time. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, this is Paul here, and I have a little bit of trouble sometimes following Paul because Paul likes to use a lot of words, and that makes it rather difficult for me sometimes. But I'm going to try to, I believe I understand the point that he's making here, and I'm going to try to bring some of that out. Now, he starts off here in the 12th verse, he thanks Christ Jesus because Christ Jesus has enabled me in that he has counted him, Paul, faithful and putting him into the ministry. That is, God looked down upon Saul and saw something. He saw something that he would be able to use. And I say Saul because I believe that God looked upon Saul when Saul was, he says here that he goes on in the 13th verse to talk about the life that he lived. He saw Paul lived before that God put him into the ministry, how that he was a persecutor, a blasphemer, injurious. Now, y'all all know some of the things that Saul did, how he went out to persecute the church, how that he was responsible for having church people put to death. He was pretty much against everything that was good in God's eyes. But he says there that he obtained mercy because he did those things ignorantly. He didn't know. He didn't understand. He thought what he was doing was right. He thought he was on the right track. He thought he was serving God when he was opposing the early church. But he was wrong. And once he realized that he was wrong, he humbled himself and obtained mercy. And that's what he's saying here in these two verses. He obtained that mercy because God looked down upon him and revealed unto him the direction that he was going and the direction he needed to be going. The point in all that, and I may have followed along with Paul there and using a lot of words to say something that's kind of basic, but God is able to use anybody. God looks down upon people and he knows what's in them. He knows what a person is capable of doing. He knows a path that they can take and willingly give him honor and glory, because God's going to get his honor and glory from everybody that ever walks upon the earth, I believe. Whether he gets it while they're here upon the earth at this time or after they've died and never repented of their sins and they're gone off into a devil's hell where they will pray unto him for all eternity, that's up to the individual. And I'm not going to get into that too much here. But the point being that there is an opportunity in this life for people to give God honor and glory, to serve him, to do what he would have them to do. And God used Paul. God brought Paul to a place where he could be used. But we as people would have looked at Saul and said, knowing what we know, no way. He's never going to be any good for God. But you see, we don't know. We don't know what's in people's hearts. We don't know what they're capable of. We don't know what the future holds. And I think that's the reason the Bible tells us to judge not, lest we be judged. And now, I always want to be careful when I use that term, judge not, lest you be judged, because it's not, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't say sin is wrong. If God says something is wrong, God has given us a list of things that are wrong. Stealing, murder, rape, there's all kinds of things in the Bible that we know is a sin that we shouldn't do. And it's never okay to not judge that, to say, well, we don't know what led that person to do that. If they did one of these things that's wrong, then that action was wrong. Now, we may not know what led the person to it, and we don't know the background, but we can say that, hey, that was a sin. You shouldn't do that. You know, maybe not pass judgment out, but to stand up and say what's right and what's wrong, what the Bible teaches us is right and what's wrong. Not to pass judgment on the individual person as to what should happen to them or not, but to know that if people don't repent of their sins, they won't be saved. And to also know that it doesn't matter how good a person lives, if they don't repent of their sins and turn to God and get saved, then they're no better off and they're no better of a person than what Paul saw was when he was going about having these people killed. Now, these were these were church people. These were people like you and I. I mean, they were serving God in truth and in spirit, and Saul was having them put to death. And I go back to that as Saul because the title of our lesson is The Most Unlikely, and I want us to all understand that he was an unlikely person to go on and do what he does later on in life, the way that he taught and the way that he served God, because I do believe he was a great servant of God, and I believe he did a lot of good things, and he did more, I believe, to serve God and to be a Christ-like than I'll ever be able to attain to. But the point here is that he didn't have an outward appearance in his early life as being someone that was going to be a Christian. He looked as if he were going to, you know, stick with that Jewish religion and serve it. But he says that he did it ignorantly, that and in unbelief, that is, not believing that Christ was the Savior of man. Now, if God could bring Saul around in the way that he was stuck in what he believed in the way that he was brought up and in the things and how tenacious he was in his beliefs, I have to believe that he can bring anyone around if that person is willing. And that's the key here to everything. What we as individuals are willing to be willing to be brought down, to be willing to be humbled before God, to serve him as we ought to put aside our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own desires, and I guess most importantly perhaps our pride, because I think that's a really big thing. I don't know if it's for women, but I mean men, from what I've seen, seem to have a lot of pride. We don't want to be weak. We don't want to be humble. You know, we want to be strong, tough. And that's not the way that we really are. I mean, we're not tough. We're not really that strong. The Bible, I think it's Paul that says, when he was weak, he was made strong. That is, when we profess our own weaknesses, that we can't do anything, then God gives us the strength to go on and accomplish what needs to be done. But as long as we're stubborn, stiff-necked, prideful, do these words kind of ring a bell in the Old Testament, the way that God's people got? The stubborn and stiff-necked is the way that they're described many times. And that's the way we kind of get. Well, when we are that way, when we are stubborn and stiff-necked and full of pride, we're not just unlikely to serve God. We won't serve God. That's not a person that God can use. Now, I guess we all have phases where we kind of tend to go, that God's people as a whole, they go through that. So God knows how to bring these people down. He knows how to bring us down. And that's what he will do. That's what he did with Saul. Now, I really didn't want to make this a lesson about Saul and Paul so much, but I guess I keep going back to that. And I'll do it for just a second more here. And I didn't really plan on doing this. It's not something that I didn't go through and back up some scriptures to read. But we know how Saul was on his way on the road to Damascus, and God shined the light down upon him, and he fell to the ground. What I'm getting to here is, I believe that he heard preaching. Paul heard preaching, and that entered into his heart, and it brought conviction on him. I don't think that he had to go through a lot of physical turmoil. He didn't have to go through a lot of emotional things outside of hearing that preaching. He was willing to hear and to let it enter into his heart. He didn't harden his heart when God came to knocking upon him. And that was the key there to everything. How we're willing to allow our hearts to be. And I know that when that happened, he was a lost individual, and that was his testimony of salvation, how that he was saved on that road to Damascus. But a lot of the aspects still hold true today to us as God's people that already have been saved, not to be saved again, but rather to be willing to, we can harden our hearts, we can be a stiff-necked people, and we won't be serving God when we do that. But we can allow the Spirit to enter into our hearts to bring conviction that we might not to repent of our sins to be saved, but repent of our sins to be in a place where God can use us, a place where he can make us successful, not successful in the world, because for the most part I think we're generally fairly successful. We may not be abundantly rich, but none of us are going hungry, and none of us lack shelter or clothes or anything. So in that sense, we're successful. But rather, that he might make us successful in his work, reaching the lost, serving him, being a light to the world, that they might see that we have something different, that they might see that there's a plan of salvation out there to be had. There's a way to get in touch with God. There's a people out here in this world that can pray to God and affect change and can have that. That's what we need to be. That's how we're successful, when we're that people that others see and they know that there's something different, and they know that there is a plan of salvation. They know there's something out there. They might not know all the answers to it, but they know there's something. And if they start looking, they can have it, it's obtainable. You know, I don't think anybody that's ever been lost, come under conviction, and been saved, they didn't have all the answers. They didn't understand everything that was in the Bible. But they understood there was something wrong inside them. They understood that they needed something. And everybody that's ever been saved, I believe, began to reach out and to reach up and to turn to God. I know that's how it is. They turned to Jesus and they repented of their sins. So that's pretty simple. I mean, it's not complicated. It's not something that anybody has to read and understand everything within the Bible. Now, once you are saved and you should begin to read the Bible and you should try to understand it, there's a depth there that I haven't even begun to scratch the surface, as the saying goes. So there is a lot there. I don't want to make it seem trivial, but the actual plan of salvation and the how that people are saved is simple, and it's something that that people can understand. It's something that if it's presented to them, they don't have to have a lot of intelligence or anything like that. I guess I'm kind of getting off the subject here, but this, as I studied this lesson, it kind of, a lot of things in Paul's life and Saul's life came to my mind as to how unlikely from the outward appearance it would be, and yet what a great servant of God he turned out to be, how God was able to use him, and the effect that he had, that so, you know, a couple thousand years later we're still studying about, not so much Paul, but the things that he did, how that he preached, how that he went through life, and the example that he set for us to and the words that he tried to convey, the thoughts that he conveyed. That was pretty successful, in my opinion. That's a lot more successful than anything that I've accomplished so far, more than likely. And that's a lot more successful than you can read about people in the paper online and the things they've done, and it seems like there's some men that's accomplished some great things, built some big buildings, made a lot of money. There's names that I could say that all of you would be familiar with. You'd know who I was talking about. You could go across the country and say those same names, and people are going to know that person, and you think, well, that's a successful person there. Well, if the world stands in 2,000 years, I think Paul will still be getting talked about. It. If you start talking about Paul in the Bible, there are going to be people that's going to know that. These names that maybe have come to your mind when I talked about going across the country and talking about those names, do you think they're really going to be remembered? Probably not. Probably not. I mean, there's no way for us to know that. But I can't come up with a whole lot of names from a couple hundred years ago that really stand out in my mind and be able to tell you what I mean. I can think of some of the, like King Henry and things like that. I really couldn't tell you anything about him other than the name, and he was a king a few hundred years ago. But anyway, so in that aspect, those people aren't really very successful. I mean, they may have lived a life here on earth, but they didn't do anything that really stood out. And so, being as the title of our lesson here is the most unlikely, the flip point of that would be, I guess, the most likely. And that's kind of what I'm thinking along those lines, is the most likely to do something successful. Are we, as God's people, likely to do something that's successful, likely to do something that's going to still be maybe not necessarily talked about 200 years from now, but is it going to be remembered? Is it going to be something that somebody can look back and say, yeah, here's where these people at Faith Church held firm, and they held strong, and they were successful. They passed it along to another generation, because that's something that we can do right now. We can look back through the Baptist histories, and we can look at churches that held the gospel. We had that that piece of paper, and it listed the succession of churches on down into Faith Church, and those churches that carried on, they were successful. Are we going to be that way, or are we going to be a church that doesn't carry on, that doesn't pass along the gospel, that just kind of ends right here? That's our choice. I mean, we can be successful. We can hold on. And the Bible teaches us that when you've done everything that you can do, when you've gone as far as you can go, to just stand and present the gospel. I mean, if nothing else, we as His people need to be doing. We need to just stand and present the gospel, to just be out there for people to see and to come and be able to talk to us. We need to be a people that are puts ourselves forth as being approachable, being somebody that they want to talk to. That's where we're going to be successful. And I mean successful spiritually, is to be a people that is humble, submissive to God's will, and willing to obey Him. Because that's how Paul got to where he was. He was willing to obey God. When God told him to go somewhere and to preach to somebody and to talk to those people, he did it. Even though that might not be, and he was persecuted for that too, by the way. I mean, y'all all know that. And how all the apostles suffered persecution. We're really fortunate today that we don't have to deal with that. We don't have to worry about somebody burning us at the stake, putting us on a rack and stretching us out till our bones become separated out of the joints. That's not happening today. Now, it's not to say that it can't happen in the future, because I don't know what the future holds. We're more faced with things, I don't know what the word is, but I guess success kind of gets in our way, you know, an ease. The Bible says, woe unto those that are at ease inside. And I think it says that because once we are at ease, we're not much use anymore to God. When there's trouble and there's tribulation, people turn to God. They seek to Him. They want to feel Him. When it's an easy life, plenty to eat, you know, safety, comfort, it's kind of easy to rest and relax, kick back. And that's a problem sometimes. It's what we want. I mean, I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want somebody to come and burn my house down so that I've got to hide out and sleep in a tent or some kind of shelter tonight. I don't want that. But I guarantee you, I'd be a lot closer to God tonight if that happened. I mean, I would. I would turn to Him then. I might not turn to Him tonight. I mean, I don't know. Because it's easy to be at ease right now. But when we're at ease, we're not likely to succeed. We're not likely to serve Him. It's possible. It is possible. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to be all negative here. And there's been a lot of people in the recent past that brought this gospel on us to us, that we're in relative safety, relative comfort, not the comfort that we have today. I'm talking about 40 or 50 years ago. But they were in safety. In the 30s and 40s, they, as far as I know, they weren't being burned out of their house for teaching this. They weren't being tortured to death, burned at the stake. They had a harder life, and yet they were successful. We can be successful today also, but not if we don't humble ourselves to God, not if we're unwilling to hear what He has to say, not if we are unwilling to serve Him the way that He would have us to serve Him. Now, we're all, you know, I'm all gung-ho to serve Him the way that I want to serve Him, to sing some songs, to read the Bible a little bit. Yeah, no problem. When He starts wanting me to do something outside of my comfort zone, there's kind of a problem there. Sometimes I can overcome it. Sometimes I'm willing to do what He says, but I can't honestly say that I'm always willing to. I can't honestly say that I always do it. And when I'm unwilling to, it's not just unlikely that I'll succeed. I won't. It's a sure thing that I won't succeed. But if I'll humble myself to God, if I'll serve Him, if I'll do what He wants me to do, if I'm willing to listen to Him, then it's not likely that I'll succeed. I will succeed. But it has to come from a willing heart. It has to come from somebody that wants to serve God, wants to do what He wants to do, isn't going to let these comforts that we're surrounded by lull them into being at ease. That's just about everything that I've got. Anybody have any thoughts, any questions? I appreciate everybody showing up today. And let's keep the prayer request that was made earlier on our hearts in our minds.
You're talking about Paul, although we know he's quite a few books in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a well-educated man. And I think he brought the Lord when he got saved, kept him to be a man of God. He was the other way. He was walking one way and he changed with the other way.
Yes. And I think that, I mean, you can look around and you can see people in the world that you'd look and you'd say, there's no way that person's ever going to do anything for God. But we don't know. We don't know what God may have in store for them. Religions, different denominations that they have a lot of zeal. I mean, they're out there knocking on doors and delivering their pamphlets and things like that. I hate to say it, but if we were putting as much physical effort into it as they was, they're working their way into heaven. That's what they're trying to do, and that won't work. I understand that. But they've got a zeal. They are working. They're not working the right way, but they're working. So it's something to think about.
Yeah, you just think about God. He knows everything, how many hairs you got in you. He knows every part of it. He knows every part of everything. So we can hide that from God. Don't even try.
If that's everything, let's be dismissed and let's keep the preacher in our prayers also. The Lord might be with him today. Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, for the help and strength you've given to us to be able to come out of our house on this time. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good lesson that was taught on the college. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our church and the makes up this body. That's our next service. That we will understand that he might bring that to us in any future. Lord, there be one here today that might be lost. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they realize that and seek these brother souls' salvation before they be asked to do. That's the request that we're made. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be humble. We might be able to use us in services. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. In Jesus' name.